This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
Fancy things you got here.
Whoa, look out!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
What's going on over there?
It just occurred to me.
What happened?
You know.
What did he do? Did he do something before the show even started?
Even before it started.
We just get going. I've got everything set up.
Yeah, I mean, you came in here. Everything seemed to be in order.
As we are on the air. Now, keep in mind, the big fat ass has been here for an hour.
Oh, right? More than that.
Sitting around, eating, jawing. You know, swapping, doing whatever he does.
Right.
Swapping, trading cards.
I don't swap, buzz swap.
Swapping pens, whatever he does. Anyway, we waste time. Anyway, I'm playing the thing that goes, you know. And he knows I'm going to play the commercial for our appearance tonight.
Right.
Right.
And at that point, please show them the, show Mike the post-it that you held up as I was about to hit a button.
I thought better to tell you in advance.
Oh, he's folded it up and, like, crinkled it up in a real small
piece.
Just
show it to Mike. I'm, like, 1 second away from hitting the button.
It says,
I didn't update the Hooters promo.
Kong!
Oh, no.
The eighth wonder of the world!
It is on your CD.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
But not on your
movie. Oh, so it has been produced.
Of course.
He just didn't put it in the place where it's supposed to go.
Exactly, which would be updating it.
Correct.
What I said, I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
And I thought better to not air the wrong one.
Well, no, we are going to air the. What am I going to do? I'm not going to find a stupid CD. We'll just air it with you, and you just jump in where he says
tonight.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, here we go. This is a Kong production.
Right. It's Don and Mike on the Pike
tonight.
At 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno-style show, Hooters of Rockville. That's how I roll.
Tonight!
When is that
going? Tonight!
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
8 p.m.
You know, not to split your little crew cut hairs, but the one we ran like a week ago, how long did it say this Wednesday?
It said next Wednesday.
It said
next Wednesday, and then it said this Wednesday, effective last Wednesday.
Yeah, didn't we run the one that said this Wednesday on Wednesday a week ago?
Yeah, because it was this Wednesday. Otherwise, it would be tonight.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
You don't want to open this can of worms.
There you go.
I know. I'm sorry.
Welcome to my world.
It was on my mind.
Welcome to my world.
And it seems to me that was a bit confusing, but it didn't matter because we promoted it, obviously, for an entire week after that. So
right.
It was just on my mind.
So the party is tonight at Hooters.
When should it start saying this Wednesday?
Thursday.
What should we have run on Wednesday?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Really?
He's absolutely right. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I'm not. I thought it would be the other way around.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Okay. As I said, it was hair splitting, but it was on my mind.
I had to share that with you. Here we are, 1 minute into the show, really just playing the tapes, and right away, the sweaty hand, the sweaty shaking hand goes up with the post-it note. I forgot to update the promo.
We couldn't live without him.
Oh yeah, we could.
We could.
Yeah, we could.
You're a goddamn genius.
Okay, now. Let's just forget that we even had to have this conversation. Let's go back and close the microphone.
It's been such an interesting week.
And let's start the show with some fresh Duke. Literally.
I'm ready.
Some fresh Duke.
Give me some.
don't know how long you're going to be able to live through this. Oh, here go the microphones off.
We hear a lot about war or hurricanes that hit our shore. We hear a lot about hard times and a good deal more about the crimes that make the front pages of our news. But all that does is sing the blues about America. Now, what are the good things in our lives? About the men who love their wives, who take their kids when they go fishing, spend their working days just wishing to make things better. A fireman who climbs a tree and sets a little kitten free.
You've been drinking today.
A policeman who helps you cross the avenue. A man who stops when you're broken down and asks if you need a lift to town.
You can suck this.
Friend, what can I do? Have you stopped at a grocery store and watched a kid who's bit off more than his 5 or 10 cent piece can chew?
Are you a drunk?
He needs just 2 cents or three to get that soda pop you see him.
Are you a prostitute?
You get that feeling? Why not?
Tell me under what rationale that's okay.
How about Sunday morning? The sun's up high and the day is morning and church bells break the stillness in the sky. All your neighbors and your friends climb in the family car again and go to church. Never question why.
God, you're ugly.
Then you look at the USA, the folks at work, their kids at play, and looking back, you see how hard they've tried.
You are in denial.
And somehow you've known all along the answer's here.
Shut the F up.
Backyard.
Shut the F up.
For as long as you believe in love and faith, hope, God above.
You effing idiot.
This land of ours is strong. And most of us feel just that way. And that's the truth. So let us say, America can't be so very wrong.
When are you coming over so I can F you? You effing idiot.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a motion picture soundstage with John Wayne.
Scene 2, take 1.
Action. I'm John Wayne. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Hi.
Now, you make yourself at home here, youngster, and I'll be back.
Okay.
I've known that little fella a while. He's mentally retarded, one of more than 6 million kids and adults. I thought some of you might like to help because the retarded can be helped. 2 years ago, Robert couldn't say hi. Well, you heard him. That may not sound like much to you, but to Robert's mother and dad, it's almost a miracle.
Come on, my second bear.
Hey, stop it now.
Joe Artinger.
Well, the National Association for Retarded Children and its nearly 1,500 local associations are helping to make miracles like this happen every day.
Joe Artinger.
Help us, please.
The Redskins Report starts now.
I would like to apologize for anyone that took offense to anything last
week. Wait a second. Before you get started, yeah. We've taken a vote. Yeah. We want you to take this Oxycontin here.
Sonny, let me tell you something, man. Do you know the trips I've seen this week? I was
you
sweating.
Sure was Oxycontin you were taking?
I was sweating real bad. I'm on a bedroom floor. This is personal, but I'll tell you anyway. I don't care. I'm taking drugs. I can get away with it. I'm on a floor Wednesday night, and I'm sweating real bad. And Pat's going, take your pajamas off, man. You're done. I said, I can't. Look at all these people watching.
Okay.
I was about to say at the top that I would like to apologize for anyone that took offense to anything that was said here last week, but I can't. Because the fact is, well, first of all, I don't apologize anyway, but the fact is, Wilbon is the blame. I was told to not get upset, not get angry. But do you want to apologize for last week? Just yes or no. Do you want to apologize because you were right?
What's he apologize?
Yeah, okay, here it is. Here is the exchange that got me going so bad last week with Michael.
Shut up!
Hey, this is Mr. Johnson calling from the office. Did you complete that thing about a month ago, that photocopier training?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, so when was the last time you used the photocopier?
By any chance, are you into wine enemas?
Well, I don't know if you heard. You might have heard from Lenny, but there seems to be a problem with the photocopier. It's spilling ink all over the floor.
I'm wearing a little black dress.
Did you, were you aware of that?
No, no way.
So there's a big puddle of black ink.
Oh, I don't like that.
Coming out of the photocopier. So I think I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you to get in here and fix that right away. How
Take it easy, honey.
Here?
Nope, can't really decide.
Okay, yeah, I don't, that's not really going to work for us because, as I said, there's ink coming out of the copier.
I find an enema clears my mind.
We're going to need you to come in. You know, if you can just, I think the thing is you should just probably put down what you're doing, and we're going to need you to come in right now.
Not so dirty. I crave seduction.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Seduce me with your feet.
Hello?
Seduce me with your feet. M'lady, your feet are like a summer's day.
You there? I speak up now. Okay, there you are.
Hello there.
Hey, this is your cousin. How are you doing?
Now, this must end.
I'm pretty good. Well, I've been better, honestly, to tell you the truth.
You are a good whore.
Well, I've been having a little trouble with some stuff. And I could honestly use a bit of money.
Goodbye, and goodbye.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. How you doing?
I see you pressing a button that doesn't seem to be working.
We don't, the new thing, the way I like to end with the promo. I thought there was an updated promo. I thought that during this almost 10-minute stretch now that you said there was a new update. You know, the format that I'm going to get very behind the scenes
All right,
here
okay.
is that we end this little thing with some type of a promotional announcement that leads into the show open.
That's done by the listeners.
Yes, right.
And then you streamlined it yesterday where as soon as that's over, bam, jingle, we're on the air.
But what I was looking for was the commercial one more time for the appearance tonight. About that one.
All right. So now, would this be the new promo?
Yeah. See,
the one that says tonight.
I assumed that he came over and just did something because I'm over here doing stuff and he was over here walking around looking at
he
stuff.
He may not have done that due to his fear of corporal punishment. He may have thought that you would hit him.
Okay. Within striking distance.
Okay. Well then. So crazy. Oh, that's the record. That's wrong. God! Oh, and nobody dead spoke to me today on the way to work.
Okay. Oh, good.
So this is
or not good.
This is just a very ragged start to the show.
You know, I was going to say good, but no, it's not. I mean, maybe right. if you get a visit like that again, it would be a cool thing.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
Okay, all right. Now, finally, here's the right commercial, I think.
It's Don and Mike on the Pike. Tonight
yeah.
at 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno-style show, Hooters of Rockville. That's how I roll.
They've taken you to the laughing place.
Life has a laughing place to go ho ho.
They've let the callers run the show.
Okay. Can I ask you something? Do you remember in the Victorian days when the women, instead of a glove, they wore a thing called a muff?
They've even made a loser like you think that you actually had email. But now, they've done something so outrageous, it may cost them their ratings. From the creators of Funk for Cash and the director of Breaking News comes a new kind of Don and Mike that will have you screaming. Don Geronimo.
What am I supposed to do with that porno?
You watch it over and over.
Mike O'Mara.
Elvis didn't expectorate on his fans.
Nobody died on the toilet.
Rob Spiewak.
Why'd you go pick on someone your own size? There's a bus in the parking lot.
Buzz Burbank.
Hey, no need to explain anything to me. I got it on in a van at Woodstock, so I'm not judging anybody.
In a very special appearance by Joe Ardinger.
Hey, they're only laughing at you because you're retarded.
Reverb. Don't think you can handle it? Then take some Advil and shut up, you pussy. Reverb. Now playing on the Don and Mike Show.
Wow. There you go. Now that's how you open a show.
I'm trying to identify this music. I don't know where it comes from, whether it's homemade or not. I can't tell.
It sounds like something from a movie trailer, though, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Sounds all right. Like a millionaire.
Thank you very much to loyal listener Drew Valensky.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Now.
Hello.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi there. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Here we are. Even with all that junk, here we are, Don and Mike Show. You can tell by the smell. And it's a new episode, everybody. It is Wednesday. It's
Wednesday.
30th of 2006, and here's our phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636.
Wonderful.
Catch us on the internet, go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com, click on Listen Live, and you can email us during the show as well, DonnaMikeWebsite.com. As a matter of fact, that's how we got, the guy's given name is BJ Daisy.
Right.
Very loyal listener of this show from Baltimore, Maryland, where he listens on Live 105, HFS, Free FM, whatever they're calling it these days. Drove down from Baltimore today. He's got his Ed Reed Ravens jersey on, and he will be participating on behalf of the listeners in our fantasy football league.
I don't know what line of work he's in, but he ought to get into porno. With a name like that, it's perfect. BJ Daisy.
BJ Daisy. I don't think Daisy has swept the nation yet. But
no. Certainly BJ's been around for a long time.
As a catchphrase for the sweetest part of a lady.
I was thinking about Daisy. Where did Daisy... Did you just make that up?
It came from Rob's daughter.
That's right. You use that in your family.
It comes from Carrie's family. But I've adopted it. I think it's wonderful.
I think it's fantastic.
Rob called me up with one of those things that the moms and dads call these days. It's funny. She woke up today and said, my Daisy hurts.
I think it's sweet. It's very nice.
And it gives new meaning to the old phrase. That's what it smells
you know,
like a daisy.
Because of that...
Please don't eat the daisies.
Because of that, I would like to back off my BJ Daisy belongs in porn comment. Because now I somehow know the origins of it. And you're right, it hasn't swept the country. And
no.
But it will.
Anyway, he's here.
BJ Steele would be more of a name.
He's here and he's ready to do the fantasy draft. We've got the Hooch standing by.
I am so ready.
Really? We are more than ready. You are... What'd you do? You went on the internet before the show?
CBS Sportsline printout. They have arrows that go up and arrows that go down. Hey, but wait a minute. I don't have to worry about it too much because my general manager is on his way.
Oh, that's right.
Travis Butler Edlund.
Star of the Hughes tapes.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes. Right. Hurry up. We're burning daylight.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Is Don and Mike going to Hooters tonight, right in Rockville?
Hi, listen, first off, darling, this is us.
You're actually speaking with us right now.
And yes, we is going to Hooters in Rockville tonight. We'd love for you to
come. Is that tonight?
It's Mike, tonight. See, if only Rob would have gotten the promo fixed. It's tonight.
My daughter works there.
Of course she does. She's in the WIT program, right? Hey, I'm not kidding about that.
The WIT program?
WIT. Whore in training?
Oh, okay. No, we're just having a little fun. Just trying to have a little fun,
just
folks.
Just kidding around.
So your daughter works up there?
Yeah, so tell her I said hi.
She must have enormous breasts.
How old's your daughter?
And you know something? Please tell her she doesn't need to get a boob job because she's got 34 C's.
I'll tell her.
Really? There's Buzz jumping in, and once again, we should point out, as we always do, especially on the day of an appearance, ladies, Buzz is clean.
Totally. He's clean, and he is so, so excited.
25 minutes.
Nobody likes to reach out and touch the public
Buzz.
Like Buzz.
Or be touched.
Buzz loves to. All right, Buzz.
Her name's Stephanie.
Stephanie. Okay, we'll look for Stephanie Pump tonight. And thanks for calling, Ma Pump.
Have a good time. Bye.
Okay, we will. Thanks. Bye-bye, honey. Bye-bye.
Sounds like Mom's excited.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Mom is excited.
Hello.
Radio gods.
Hey, howdy.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I was the first guy to post a YouTube video.
Oh, you're the guy. Listen, and you know, we...
You're the skateboarder guy?
Yeah.
Thank you. We got to have a talk with CBS about that they don't know if they like the idea or not.
Well, I made another one. If you go to the video again, and I posted a link to a new video I made,
I think
they might like that one better.
Good. That's what we really wanted to urge everybody to do was to, even though we just threw this idea out there a couple of days ago, go to YouTube, make a not a fake commercial, make a commercial for our radio show that we can buy and play on local cable TV.
But the suits sink their teeth into this one?
Oh, well, there are issues with, like radio stations that are now signing deals with MySpace.
Ah.
And they're concerned that we're going to be using YouTube, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, I say, okay, well, fine. You know, just put them in the corner with the thousands of other people that hate us.
Right. Amen.
So let's just get that going right now. So thank you very much for putting that up. I promise we'll talk more about this in detail on a future show. But in a nutshell, we really like the homemade entries that we got for the contest.
Yeah.
And it would really be great to get a commercial made by one of our listeners, selected by everybody on YouTube.
It'd be phenomenal. It really would be fun.
And the funniest part would be that we buy cable TV time,
yeah,
and the thing actually runs on real TV.
Really put it on the TV.
Very cool.
Yeah, guys, look for my new one. Like I said, I put another one on there. I think the problem with the first one was it had another Euro on it from their website, and there was copyright issues with the guy actually on the skateboard. But this new one that I got up, it's me, it's my stuff, so hopefully we'll see. Maybe I'll win.
All right, dude.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
We'll come up with some type of cash prize for that.
Good for you.
Some type of cash prize for that. Yes, indeed, nobody spoke to me on the way to work today. The car did not pull off on the side of the road magically.
Did you have a restful evening last night?
I had a great night last night.
Okay.
I had a great night last night and a great day today. And I want to thank everybody that sent a lot of email to our website about that. A lot of people like the stuff that I didn't want this to turn like the Sylvia Brown show.
Right.
You know, like that creepy lady that's on Montel every day.
Us to start calling you Aline.
A lot of people have had similar experiences.
I'm sure.
So anyway, it was nice to get that out there, and I felt better, and nothing happened today. Just one thing with the dog. And this one I might really ask for someone's help with. On the internet, not on the telephone, because our show's jammed up today. You've heard me talk endlessly about the little dog Max. Here's what happened last night, and please, while I'm telling you this, nobody jump in and say you shouldn't go back and forth between crate and bed. You know, it should be one thing all the time. It's just the way that I am. I love these dogs. I really don't like punishing the little one, and especially since Frida passed away, I like having him upstairs with me. So,
all right.
I bring them up last night. Max, the little one, the problem one, gets in bed with me. Clink lays on the couch in our bedroom. I wake up at about 6:15. I notice Max is not in bed with me. I go to the foot of the bed, and guess what? There's a wet spot on the carpet. Now, I do not flip out. I do not yell. I do not scream.
You sure it came from the dog?
Oh, no, I'm positive.
Okay.
It was, I know Max. By this time,
occasionally, if it's a real late night for me, I sometimes. You know.
No, not the case here. Right. But
no dribbling.
But hold on, I'm getting something here. This is the dog using his small brain to 100% maximum capability. Hey, Buzz, how'd that light? Do you have your lights?
What happened?
Do you have your lights? You have your lights on a timer?
Yes, I do.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Apparently, I saw like a flash. No. It was like
Buzz has a lamp in his studio that just went on.
Apparently running late. Sorry about that.
That was weird.
Was it 23 minutes ago?
Yes, yes it was. Maybe no timer.
I almost thought it was like a clap on, clap off thing.
Yeah. Buzz and his never-ending quest to make this into his personal dorm room.
The lamp goes on every time I update the promo.
So I don't get mad at the dog.
Right.
I bring him downstairs with the big one, and I say, okay, boys, come on, go outside and go potty. I go upstairs, I clean the stain. I come downstairs. They are both downstairs. Now, they have been outside for 20 minutes.
That's plenty of time.
And the little dog has already peed at the foot of the bed, I'm guessing sometime in the early morning hours, right? So I bring them back inside, and I'm determined that I'm not going to start today like I did yesterday. They're just dogs. So they come inside, and I say, okay, they're my boys. They're my boys. Let's see. I give Clink a cookie, and I give Max a smaller cookie. Okay? Like they know the difference.
Well, and it's a smaller dog.
Right. So. Yeah, he's a smaller dog, but he's used to getting the big full-size. But listen, here's... So, 5 minutes go by. Now, right. You tell me if this is not the logic.
I'm trying not to laugh. I know you're serious.
5 minutes go by. I'm sitting at the kitchen table, having my coffee, reading the paper. 6:45. Think, oop, I gotta go take a leak. I go to the bathroom right off the kitchen. And as I'm walking there, I notice, well, that way, there's something wet. What has happened is, Max, in between the time that I have gotten up, not yelled at him for peeing in on the carpet in the bedroom, put him outside for 20 minutes, brought him back inside, he's come up, while I'm sitting there having my coffee, pees right at my feet. Gigantic, just a puddle of pee.
This is after he's been outside for 20 minutes. And he peed on the carpet. What's his deal?
Now, I just have to tell you, I'm sure that Pete is going to call. Do not worry. It was nothing physical that happened. It was strictly mental Guantanamo Bay type torture.
The best.
What I did was I picked him up. And I'm sure that I did some type of damage to his hearing because I picked him up and I screamed in his ear as loudly as I could. No, 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 no,
right.
No. I mean, it was a repeat of yesterday's performance.
He doesn't speak English.
Except instead of being in front of the neighbors, I was inside holding the dog, screaming into his.
So you saw him pee outside?
No, I didn't see him pee outside, but he was outside for 20 goddamn minutes.
I'm thinking he goes outside and he prefers to pee inside.
Well, I got news for you. Like I said to him, really, I mean, I'm at my wit's end because I love the dog. I can't imagine. This is going to sound great. There's no practical reason I could have the dog put to sleep.
Right.
He's in good health. You don't go to the vet and say, I've had this dog, and I love him. He's one of my best pals ever. It's just he started to piss me off. Is there any chance that we could just, like, put him to sleep?
He isn't old, is he?
He's, like, 10 years old.
You think maybe he's got, like, the incontinence problem?
I don't know. I'm going to give him the last benefit of the doubt. I'm going to take him to the vet.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, he's peeing all over the place.
Good move.
You tell me if he's got a problem with his bladder and bowels or if he just hates me.
That sounds like he's maybe got a little problem.
And if he is healthy, you know, you might want to accidentally leave out a dish of antifreeze.
Oh, God.
But here's the other thing.
It tastes sweet.
Even if he's sick, he knows that he's doing stuff that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, not if he can't control it.
But hold on a second. Let's say that you did have this medical ailment and that you have a brain the size of a pea.
An English walnut.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see.
Norman!
Hey, where's Joe? Hey, Joe?
Yes?
Hi there. I'm just using it as an example for someone who has the brain the size of a pea.
Walnut.
So.
English walnut.
An English walnut. Let's say that you do have this medical condition. Okay? So you've been let outside and you've already gone once in front of daddy's bed.
Right.
Why so ballsy that you come up and you do it right at my feet? I mean, literally, while I'm sitting there reading the newspaper and I think he is just sitting at my feet, he's down there taking a big leak. That's a protest.
May I offer something?
Yes. Yeah. Please do, Mike.
I had a standard poodle who, when he would greet me, would pee.
Yeah, dogs get excited.
They get excited, but he's not greeting you by peeing, is
no.
he?
No.
But he's super excited to see you.
It's a hell of a greeting.
And you've had it at your feet a couple of times. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Second time now. Second time. And it's not. And it's, trust me, he ain't excited to see me. When he got up this morning, he still had that, and that's where they get the expression, hang dog. He still had the look on his face like, I really effed up yesterday. I really, and then, you know, there's the pee at the end of the bed.
Do you think it's because he got a smaller cookie?
You know what I think?
Do you think really think he's that sophisticated?
He's all about cookies.
Yes, I do.
So he processes the fact that Clint got a bigger cookie, and he decides that he's going to pee on your floor.
I think so.
Stranger things could happen.
I think so. All right, hold on. Okay, so
you need a dog psych.
Good luck. Send that to the email. Please send that to our website, because there's other news about number one that we have to get through that's much more important. I don't know if you've heard this or not. Excuse me. This is a chick on CNN. Her name is Kira Phillips.
Yes.
And she's a reporter on CNN. And Bush is making some remarks. And while Bush is making, she's doing the setup, saying, and now the President of the United States, you know, on CNN.
Right.
While he's talking live, she goes to the bathroom. And she leaves her microphone on. So here now is that audio.
Oh, man.
Let's start with that.
Every department of my administration has looked at its response to last year's hurricane and has recommended practical reforms, things to do to make sure that the response is better. Chertoff, Secretary Chertoff,
you know what I'm saying? Just a really passionate, partnership, compassionate, great, great human being.
But you got to understand, this is going out on the air on CNN. While the president is talking.
Is she talking while she's in the bathroom?
Yes. You're going to hear her shortly wash her hands.
All right.
I mean, thank God you don't.
You know, yeah, you're exactly.
You're one of those.
And they exist. They do exist. Yeah. They're hard to find. Yep.
Has expanded
but
supplies
so that
people can feed up to 1 million people for about a week. We looked at what went right, and we looked at what went wrong, and we're addressing that which went wrong.
I mean, that's how you figure it all
Louisiana,
out.
Louisiana, we have pre-positioned supplies in advance for this year's hurricane season. The people of the Gulf Coast
Mom's got a good vibe.
At the federal level good. And at the state level and at the local level. We've all assessed.
Course, brothers have
and
to
we're now
be,
working
you know,
together
protected.
In better fashion.
Except for
we're
mom,
better
be protective of him.
The step one of rebuilding is to assure people if another yeah. hurricane comes.
He's married, three kids, but his wife is control freak. Yeah, baby.
To make sure that. Make sure that people.
All right, we've been listening into President Bush as he speaks in
wow.
New Orleans today. This is the 1 year anniversary of Katrina making landshore there.
How good
President
is that?
Bush, saying wow. that a natural disaster hits our country.
Anyway, great tape.
And what does she look like? Did you get a look at her?
Yeah, not
is
bad
she,
looking.
Is she a hottie?
Not bad
blonde.
Looking.
Yeah,
no, not bad. She yeah,
wow.
looked like a blonde in a bottle, but not bad.
Now, if it was Candy Crowley, you would have heard something else.
And at least we know now that things are better in New Orleans and that her brother-in-law is a control freak.
It could be a great... If that was Ann Compton who was mic'd in the bathroom...
Oh, that would have been...
It would be deuce time.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Should be a great
hey,
Thanksgiving.
Hey, Don and Mike, love the show.
Hi there, thank you.
Hey, my dog was doing the same thing as your dog. He was peeing everywhere, and it wound up he had a urine infection.
Yeah.
So he may have, like,
and boy, won't I feel bad for almost pulling a Jack Black on him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's how
Ron,
I roll.
In Ron Burgundy.
Right.
Really. Well, we'll find out. I'll take him to the vet. But it'll be, as I said to him, the last straw.
And then you're going to, do you have any plans for how you're going to do that?
No.
Sounds like you've already made up your mind.
Like everything, I'm all talk and no action. And he's like, really? You know, how old's Mike? 21? I never hit him one time in his life.
Right.
But I would always threaten him.
Right.
You ever push me far enough?
Why?
Watch
I
out. Watch out. I never laid a hand on him. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, man. My name is Charlie Wong from Wong's Hong Kong Buffet. You bring your dog down to see us. We'll take care of
him.
I can't bring myself to hurt the dog either.
That's Charlie Wong from Wong's Hong Kong Buffet.
It's a great place.
I could not bring myself to hurt my dog, but I could hurt some of our listeners.
Yes.
And that I could do right with a clear conscience.
With a clear conscience and a...
And the grace of God.
And perhaps a weapon
Hello,
as well.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Mike, armed with nothing more than my wits.
And the guns.
The wits and, yeah, the guns. The guns. The guns.
Title your book, isn't it? Wits and Guns.
Let's go to the gun show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hey, Don.
Hey, hi. Hi there.
This is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, I was just calling. Like the other caller just said, your dog may have a urinary tract infection.
Okay, and like I said,
in which case, anybody may help.
I appreciate it. As
the
I said,
other thing
I wish that people hold on one second, friend. If people would just send this crap to the website, if that seems to be the consensus, then great. And thank you very much because I've made the appointment at the vet. And if that's the case, my dog will deal with the psychological scars like Joan Crawford's daughter has.
Right. But the other thing was, from a training standpoint, Don, if the dog was never properly potty trained for the outside deal, he won't know the difference between what's right and what's wrong.
Well, for 10
he's
years...
He's not doing it to piss you off, obviously.
For 10 years, he has known the difference.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
No, I'm kidding you. No, I'm kidding. For 10 years, he's crapped in the house every single day. He's a perfect animal. Get out of here, would you please? He takes a leak on everything. Oh, Super Dave's here. Okay. Hello, Super Dave.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, Super Dave.
Incredible. Hey,
Super Dave, everybody. Hi,
how
Super
are you?
Good. I'm unable to make the Hooters appearance tonight.
Oh,
I
heard. Bummer every summer. Why, Dave? Why?
Because I'm having to work tomorrow at 9 in the morning.
Oh, and you're a responsible guy. You don't want to be out super late when you have to work the next morning?
Right, and getting home late at night will be terrible.
Right. You're not a night person? Are you not a nighttime guy?
I am, but usually not on a work night.
Understood. Where are you right now, Super Dave?
Right now I'm at Hooters in Baltimore.
Ah, well. Oh, okay. So you just
hanging
wanted to...
out with my friend Tony and everything.
Yeah, so Tony's there with you and some of your gal pals there?
Yep.
Yep.
Any particular hotties that have caught your eye today, Dave?
Yep, Tony. And...
oh, Tony is a girl.
T-O-N-I. Right. Oh, he mentioned her before, I think.
Yeah.
And Tanae and everybody.
You want to talk to Tony on the radio?
Yeah, would you put Tony on the phone? Would you ask her if she'd like to come on the show?
She's kind of busy right
now. Dave, be a little assertive. We'll accept the pussying out on the Hooters appearance, but, you know, try to get her if you can.
Ask her to come over and tell her she can be on the radio.
Right.
Call her over.
Right now I'm outside on a landline.
Ah, payphone.
Right, because my phone seems to... want to crap out on me a little bit.
So you'd have to go inside the store and get Tony to come out?
Right.
All right. Well, let's just bag that then.
Another time.
Yes, another time.
You're very nice to call, Dave.
We'll miss you.
I know. Really want to be there, but it just won't work out tonight.
Well, you know, should we cancel it? Should we cancel it, Dave?
No, you can just go ahead and have a good time.
Thank you.
And maybe you'll be able to make it up here in Baltimore or Towson.
Dave, is there anything you'd like to say to your legions of fans that are going to be missing seeing you tonight?
That I love them and that I wish I really could be there.
Yeah, like you're the American Idol.
Right.
What are you wearing today? Are you wearing those shoes?
That's what I want to say. On the clay
right,
clay
I'm
maniacs.
Wearing my socks, shoe socks, because they're comfortable. My black pants and the white shirt.
Very nice. Oh, very good. And you go to work at Mickey D's tomorrow?
Right.
Do they give you free food when you work there?
Yes, they do. There's an employee meal.
How's the hygiene going? You were spraying yourself with Febreze the last time we saw you.
Right. It's going great.
Trying
to keep it up and make sure... not smelling too terrible.
Right on, Super Dave.
You're a good man. We're going to really, really miss you tonight, Super Dave.
I know, but maybe there'll be something closer.
Okay, we'll work on it, Dave. Listen, until next time.
All right.
Until next time, friend. You know, keep your feet on the ground. And keep
reaching, all right.
Keep reaching for your wiener.
Yeah.
Right.
And see if Tony will maybe go in that area, too.
All right.
Okay, Dave.
All right, Dave.
All right, bye-bye.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Hasta luego.
Hasta mañana.
Right.
Arrivederci.
Auf Wiedersehen.
All right, bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
A nice update for the Dave Maniac.
He sounded genuinely sad that he wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. But not so sad that it was preventing him from waxing away the afternoon at Hooters.
I do think what he was hoping for is us to offer him a ride.
Yes, I think that
I think he was sort of fishing.
Do you really think that's all it was?
Yeah. Well, hell.
Well, not
what,
all.
A cab ride?
I thought he said that he had work tomorrow morning.
Right, early. And how much would a cab ride be for him?
To Towson?
That's a lot of money. That's
Bel Air?
On the Beltway? Like $100? Really? Like $100?
Right. Man.
That's all right. I think we're doing our next Reno-style show at BWI. So we'll announce it.
No, I believe him. I think he's upfront enough that if he needed dough or needed a ride, he would have asked for it. I believe he starts his job at McDonald's tomorrow.
9 a.m.
And God bless him.
At 9 a.m. and he wants to make a good impression.
Especially since he has to rely on rail travel.
That food is going to taste good. How'd you like to be the person pulling up that drive-thru and you hear that voice?
I don't think that he's anywhere near the food.
No, he doesn't.
I think he washes the windows.
What I'm saying is, though, not near the food, but I imagine him perhaps near the drive-through window.
Have your money ready.
Because he does have
it. Decided that I'd take out a little that nosy.
That Rain Man thing. He's got that mind for numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I bet he'd be a whiz like a number two, a number five without cheese, a number four with tomatoes. Yes, that's 1028 with tax. Pull around, please.
He'd probably be really good with a number two. He probably would.
Or not.
We always get an employee meal.
I wonder if they fixed the shower at the boarding house yet.
Now you got me thinking if he really wanted a ride, and that's why he didn't want to, deal with all the mass traffic. Does he have to make, like, 8 bus connections to get back home?
It takes him, like, 2.5 hours, I think.
To get back home.
One of our listeners from Baltimore would give him a ride if that was the
case. I bet
case.
We have people coming down from Baltimore.
Probably, I would think so.
Boy, that's asking an awful lot.
It is.
Of our listeners.
Just some listener.
It's a random listener.
Pick up Super Dave, a man who openly admits that he sprays his balls with Febreze.
Sure like your velour upholstery.
If you're coming down, stop by the Hooters and look near the payphone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll let him have a nice day at McDonald's tomorrow.
Yes, why not? He takes his job seriously.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, howdy.
Could it be that Jackie Treehorn sent the Chinaman over to pee on your rug?
Oh, that's a Lebowski thing. Ah, okay. All right, I got you. Thank you, my friend.
Big Lebowski joke?
Yep, right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Except it's a guy who does it on Lebowski's rug, not a dog. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hi, Guy.
Hi there.
Hey, on the Fantasy League, I was wondering if I could sing the Star Spangled Banner for you guys.
You want to sing? Sure, hold on a second.
Like when we have our draft?
Sure, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on, you can sing the Star Spangled Banner.
That's wonderful.
Or we could, we could really play the tape of Mike singing it.
True enough.
I'd rather have the listener sing. He called in to sing it. It was his idea.
I'd rather hear you sing it, though.
Live or on tape?
Live.
Let's drink first.
Like Dennis.
And after the draft, we can have fireworks.
Oh, say, can you dance? We got tapes of him singing the national anthem as well.
We've got tapes of him when he forgot the lyrics.
One of our baseball games. Yeah, big fantasy draft. We'll do that here in a second. And we've got booze today, so it's going to be the Drunken Draft Show.
Yay!
Oh, it's going to be good. So before we get all wasted and start to do our fantasy stuff, which we'll hopefully start in just a moment, this morning on the Today Show, I'm glad that I'm watching this show because every day they do something that's stupid or something that either makes me happy or makes me very angry.
Okay.
Today we have something that makes me very happy from the Today Show. And you're going to like this, Mike. It's a series of segments, that they do with Bush.
Oh, the Brian Wilson interview.
Yeah. Brian Williams.
Williams,
not Brian Wilson.
So it's like being president, Mr. President.
So Brian Williams, what a coup this is. He managed to snag an exclusive with George Bush about Katrina 1 year later.
Oh, good.
So I'm watching this thing, and I'm thinking as I'm watching this, this is really just the essence of George Bush being just the dumb guy that he is.
Mm-hmm. Is he trying to fake his way through it?
It looks to me like nobody prepped him for this.
Oh, boy.
Like, nobody did play acting with him, saying, this is what they're going to ask you.
And it's not about war, so it's not his wheelhouse. You know, he loves Patton Oswalt and his stand-up, but brought this up. He loves to talk about, when you see him talking about war, he's very, very quick on his feet.
Mike, actually, he does discuss the war.
Okay, well, see, he's good at that.
Does he drop
the ball with that?
No, he wasn't today.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't bring this in unless it was something. You know, now, it's not his classic boner.
But he's struggling.
Yeah, he's just Bush being Bush. Just like, who's that? Just like, let Manny be Manny.
Manny be Manny, yeah.
How are those guys doing, Mike? Anyway, here is...
They're all back in Boston. They're in the middle of a road trip, and they sent them all back to Boston.
Here's our president this morning on the Today Show.
We always talk about what you're reading. As you know, there was a report that you have just read the works of a French philosopher. Can you tell us the backstory of Camus?
The backstory of the book?
Well, what led you to this?
I was in Crawford, and I said I was looking for a book to read, and Laura said you ought to try Camus. I also read three Shakespeare's.
Oh, that is so manufactured.
Yeah. Hold on.
That's so manufactured.
I disagree. I also read three Shakespeare's.
No, it's not that he didn't do it. I know he did it, but he's doing it because somebody's telling him to do it.
I don't think he read a book by William. Who says it like that?
Three Shakespeare's.
I read three Shakespeare's.
Unless he got, like, the crib notes, you know, if he gets asked a question.
This is a change. Years ago were reading the life story of Joe DiMaggio by Richard Ben Kramer, if memory serves. You've been on a Teddy Roosevelt reading kick. You and I discussed the last time we were here.
The Battle of New Orleans right now. I've got an eclectic reading list.
Eclectic?
And now Camus.
Oh, my God.
What did I tell you?
How great is he?
Eclectic.
Did he not say, did I really hear that?
Yes.
Eclectic.
I'll back it up. Hold on a second.
Eclectic.
Three Shakespeare. I read three Shakespeare.
God.
It's eclectic.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
Hold on. Oh, for goodness sakes, hold on. One, two.
We always talk about what you're reading. As you know, there was a report that you have just read the works of a French philosopher.
I'm laughing.
Can you tell us the backstory of Camus?
The backstory of the book.
Well, what led you? What led
I
you
was
to
in
this?
Crawford, and I said I was looking for a book to read. And Laura said you ought to try Camus. I also read three Shakespeare's.
Really? Which ones were they?
One of them had to be William.
This is a change. Years ago, we were reading the life story of Joe DiMaggio.
Which is this guy's way of saying,
yeah.
A year ago, you were reading Dr. Seuss.
By Richard Ben Kramer, if memory serves. You've been on a Teddy Roosevelt reading kick. You and I discussed the last time we were here.
The Battle of New Orleans right now. I've got an eclectic reading list.
And now Camus.
Well, that was a couple of books ago.
Okay, now.
Wow.
Here we go. Brian Williams is really at ease, and he's poking fun at him. I like it.
And it's, like I said, it's obvious nobody prepared Bush for this. So here he is now. Let's go right to history and decisions. Because they start asking how are you going to be remembered.
He's the decider.
You know, this is a job where you make decisions.
Yep.
And you think, do what you think is right. And you let people, but recognizing that people are going to say what's on their mind at the moment. But I read three histories of George Washington last year. The first president of the United States is still being analyzed by historians, which ought to say to this president and future presidents, do what you think is right, and eventually historians will figure out whether it made sense or not.
Now think about that statement. You got to stop and think about it. He says we're still analyzing what George Washington did right or wrong.
Yes.
200 years ago.
Certainly.
So if you're doing it now, give it your all, because they'll decide down the road.
Eventually.
Sure.
But on the other hand, our first and perhaps greatest president, we're still debating him 200 years later.
Right.
Okay.
Three Shakespeare's.
Here he is.
I wonder if it's like an analysis of.
Here he is now. This is now we're getting to the best part about the war. Keep the expectations low.
Okay.
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
No problem, dickhead. No problem.
Wouldn't we all like to say that?
Yeah.
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Is that what everyone doesn't get?
I don't know, Brian, what they get or don't get. You know, my life.
Again.
God, he's let his guard down with Brian Williams. He seems
like
I don't know, Brian. You know, you and I, we go back a long way.
I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
I keep expectations low educationally.
Two Shakespeare.
Economically.
I don't know, Brian.
Militarily.
Here's the thing. I don't. But here's the thing. The great thing about the presidency is you're totally exposed. And people spend a lot of time, particularly if you're making decisions and hard decisions, people spend a lot of time not only analyzing decisions, they analyze the decision maker. And I understand that. But a president must never let him get off, let that get him off track.
Even if you're frustrated that we're getting something wrong.
You have to do what you think. If we're getting something wrong, we change it.
How have you been read wrong?
Oh, I don't know about read wrong. I mean, I frankly don't pay that much attention to it. I don't want to hurt people's feelings about it.
Still not watching television, huh?
I watched a good baseball game.
And again, it's like wow. Brian Williams is boom, boom, boom.
Keep those expectations low.
I don't know, Brian.
If they do something wrong, they change it. Remember you said
Mike, hold on a second. Speaking of, I have this one titled Short-Term History.
Okay.
You know, first of all, there's no such thing as short-term history as far as I'm concerned. I think that you can't judge a presidency based upon a moment's notice. I believe you have to take eventually my standing in history will be judged by people 30 or 40 years from now who will be able to take an objective look at whether the decisions I made led to peace and prosperity.
All right, now hold on a second. Let's
30 or 40 years from now, we'll be able to decide if his decisions were right.
You know, this is a job where you make decisions.
Yeah.
And you think do what you think is right.
30 or 40 years,
and you let
decide.
People, but recognizing that people are going to say what's on their mind at the moment. But I read three histories of George Washington last year. The first president of the United States is still being analyzed by historians, which ought to say to this president and future presidents, do what you think is right, and eventually historians will figure out whether it made sense or not.
Little third person action, too, you know, with a, which ought to say to this president.
So this is his new angle. No matter how stupid I look now, you see me.
Let me tell you what the new angle is. The new angle is, I'm not worried about what people are saying about me right now. I know everybody's saying I suck now. But history is going to judge me fairly.
And really, I think part of the new angle is, it's not my mess. I mean, he's now got it in the rearview mirror. All he's got to do is not F up the world in the next 2 years.
All he's thinking about right now is probably getting back to Crawford and pruning shrubs.
When you take a tour of the world, a lot of Americans email me with their fears that, you know, some days they wake up and it just feels to them like the end of the world is near, and you go from North Korea.
Nice to know that Brian Williams has been getting Buzz's emails.
To Iran, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, and you look at how things have changed. How Americans are viewed overseas, if that is important to you. Do you have any moments of doubt that we fought the wrong war? That there's something wrong with the perception of America overseas?
Well, those are two different questions. Did we fight the wrong war? And absolutely, I have no doubt.
He asked him if we fought the wrong war, and he said he has no doubt.
But wait and hear more.
The war came to our shores. Remember that.
Wow.
We had a foreign policy that basically said, let's hope calm works. And we were attacked.
But those weren't Iraqis.
No, they weren't. They weren't. No, I agree. They weren't Iraqis. Nor did I ever say that Iraq ordered that attack. But they're a part of. Iraq is part of the struggle against the terrorists. Now, these terrorists have.
Iraq is part of the struggle against the terrorists.
Hamina, hamina, hamina.
I don't know.
You know, like,
I just
like I
don't
said,
know.
Listen, I don't know a lot about politics.
Well, I know he's thinking.
I watched The West Wing, and I see on The West Wing that if Martin Sheen had something important to do, they would like give him run-throughs, right? They would pretend to be reporters asking him ball-busting questions.
No, this is kind of his thinking on his feet, casual George.
Made it clear they want us to leave Iraq prematurely, and why is it? Because they want a safe haven. They'd love to get a hold of oil. They have territorial ambitions. And, I think fighting this war is the absolute right thing to do. Now, in terms of image, of course I worry about American image. We're great at TV, and yet we're getting crushed in the PR front.
We're great at TV.
We're great at TV.
We're great at TV. What does that mean? What
we make good TV shows,
American Idol.
But the propaganda I'm sending out ain't working.
CSI? I mean, we got great TV,
now,
but
on,
we're getting our ass kicked for this PR thing.
You know what show he's talking about, according to Jim.
Only the funniest, his favorite.
And so we work hard and try to work smart about how we get a message out.
Sure you do.
That says we respect Islam. We just reject the ideology of extremists who kill innocent people to achieve political objectives.
There now he's reading off a card he's memorized.
He's got that, and who doesn't, who disagrees with
he's
that?
He's probably got that written on the back of his hand, right, just in case.
And we've got to do a harder job. But somehow...
We've got to do a harder job, Mike.
People, if what you're saying is, if we retreat for the sake of popularity, is that the smart thing to do? And my answer is absolutely not. It'd be a huge mistake to give the battlefield to these extremists. We retreat, they follow us. And I see it as clearly as day. I understand the challenge, and I understand. And I also understand the frustrations of our citizens.
Well, I feel better.
Citizens, I am completely calm now.
I feel better.
I was a little uptight about the war and everything else going on in the world, but after hearing that, I feel totally reassured.
I know that we don't often like do news stuff at the beginning of the show, but he's just. So great.
We always talk about what you're reading. As you know, there was a report that you have just read the works of a French philosopher. Can you tell us?
French philosopher. He's laughing. Yeah. Like. Yeah, I know you.
Yeah,
can't
I surprised
that.
You, Brian. I surprised you.
Can't imagine that.
I don't know how to pronounce that name the way it's writ.
Tell us the backstory of Camus.
The backstory of the book.
Well, what led you? What led
I was
you
in
this?
Crawford, and. I said, I was looking for a book to read, and Laura said, you ought to try Camus. I also read three Shakespeare's.
The way he phrased that question, you read a book by a French philosopher, I think he was baiting him to calling him Camus. You mean Camus?
I read three Shakespeare's. And that's what you have to understand. I'm reading.
This is a change.
It's eclectic, Mr. President.
And if we make a mistake, we'll change it.
You no, just really? Years ago were Wait reading the life story of Joe DiMaggio by Richard Ben Kramer, this if memory serves. You've been on a Teddy Roosevelt reading kick. You and I discussed the last time we were
about
here.
The Battle of New Orleans right now. I've got an eclectic...
And now Camus.
Well, that was a couple of books ago.
Everything he says when he's talking to reporters like this. You don't understand. You're not listening to me.
The White House president is standing there while this is rolling.
Right. I didn't think this would happen on Tony Snow's watch. You know, I thought Tony Snow's a little more savvy.
At what point, like after the first 30 seconds, where they say, you know what? I think the president has a phone call. Let's take a break. They don't pull him aside and go, hey, listen, you know, hey, Johnny, you know, who do you think you're talking to here? This guy, Brian Williams, who's a tool to begin with, makes Stone Phillips look smart.
Right.
He's pounding you into the ground.
Yeah, you know, W always reminds me, especially the way they handle him and the way they prep him, as the kid in school that would get up to answer the question, and you'd know, everybody in the classroom would know that he didn't know the answer.
Right. Yes,
you
Mr.
would,
Bush.
You would have a little admiration for him because he was trying so hard to BS his way through
He'd
it.
He'd be the guy with his hand up in the front row, and the it finally would be, okay, all right, yes, Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush. Yes, young Mr. Bush.
Yeah, I'm going to stand up and answer the question, if you don't want me to answer it, I could wrong. But,
no, answer the question. The question was, if Johnny had four apples and gave two to Susie, how many would he have?
I think we can all agree that apples taste good. And, you know, no matter how many apples I enjoy, 10 hours from now, you're going to judge me differently and probably more fairly. If I eat all them apples right now, I'm going to get probably collywobbles, and I won't be able to go to the water go swimming. How do you like them apples?
You are a very articulate 6-year-old boy.
Yes, and I've made something for you, teacher. It's a poster that says, I am the decider. I'm very, very happy.
Eclectic.
I don't know, Brian. It's I was looking for a book to read.
Yeah.
And,
hold on. Like this, I'm looking for a book to read. It's like me saying, I'm looking for a book to read.
Right. Sometimes the TV down in Crawford is so bad during the summer.
It's time for our fantasy football draft, everybody.
Oh, boy.
And I just want to give number one son a chance to get in on this. I know that Bart had some school stuff that he may have to attend to today.
Good for him.
So I want to get good for him. And he
good
is,
for him.
He has put me in control of his team to make his picks if he's not available. All right. Hold on a sec. Maybe this is... Hey, guys, I'm going to answer that one. Put it on hold, please. Thank ye.
Hello?
Hey.
There he is. Hey.
Made it just in time.
Look at
hey,
that.
He was just calling
Look
you.
At that. I was just calling you on your cell to see if you were around, and here you were calling me. Fantastic. Well, first, how was school today?
It was fine. I actually would not have made the draft had I not left my last class 5 minutes early, but I am here, so I did leave 5 minutes early.
All right, and that, of course, in no way will, make you fail this semester.
Oh, I told him, I made sure it was all right beforehand with the teacher, and I told him why I needed to leave.
All right, very
cool. There you go, all right.
Very cool. Oh, and listen,
You didn't say you needed to leave because of fantasy football, did you?
I explained that if I wasn't here, I thought you guys might skip over my pick.
Oh, no.
When we spoke yesterday or last night, I said I would pick for you, and you were cool with that.
But it's not so convincing if I say, if I'm not there, then my father will pick for me. It's better sounding if I tell him if I'm not there, I lose.
All right, son.
Oh, my God, if you were honest enough to say you were leaving for fantasy football, you can at least tell a little fib to the teacher about
all
that.
All right. Well, listen, here's the deal. Here's a shock for you. We're running about 10 minutes late. We're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we're going to start. So you got about 9 minutes to get yourself prepped.
All right.
And you have the sixth pick, right?
Yes, and you have the second, correct?
Yes, and welcome to the league. I was glad we could take care of that little business.
Me too.
Excuse me. All right, B-Man. Well, then we will talk to you momentarily. All right, I'll call you back.
All right, call me back at home.
All right, at home. Call you then. You got it.
All right, bye.
All right, love you. Oh, and this weekend. But boy, am I kicking off our vacation in really great fashion. I love going down to college and just busting it on BART. And that's what I'm doing this weekend.
Good.
It's going to be fantastic. Just go down.
Wonderful.
Just go down and I'm staying in your place, right?
Yeah, we said we discussed it when you got there, but I don't see any foreseeable reason why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
He's getting better and better.
Yeah, I know he is.
That means he's just starting to clean.
He's a skilled communicator.
Yep. All right, bud. I love you. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you,
you stay in the dorm, in his, apartment down there?
Yeah, he's got a guest bedroom.
Right.
Don't
be defensive. I was just saying.
I was actually thinking when
you're kind of it's like not odd. I guess staying in the dorm would be odd, but staying in an off-campus house.
He has an off-campus apartment, and when I went down there last summer, I slept in his bed, and he slept on the couch.
Right. Okay.
So anyway, I love the fact that, I just want to give any parents out there the knowledge that there is something at the end of the road, that at some point, when you think that they're never finally going to turn the corner, at least they do turn the corner a little bit.
Good.
I'd say he's 21 now, and I would guesstimate his emotional maturity age to be about 11. and on our scale, in our family, that's great.
Where is yours right now? Where is yours?
I'm stuck at 9.
Oh, so he surpassed you.
He's an overachiever.
Wow,
you
good.
Show off. When did you beat me?
First member of my family to go to college is my son.
Very good. That is a very good thing.
Anyway, I'm proud. How dumb is that? I'm proud of him that he called in on time for the draft.
And I'm proud of him because he was able to sell me his pick.
Okay, so when we come back, it'll be the draft.
So I'm basically at the very beginning of this draft going to have my eyes on one person. Because we all been discussing what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's what I got to decide when we come back.
Tick, 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 tick.
It's the big three, Mike. It's the big three for me. It's Sean Alexander from the Seattle Seahawks, Larry Johnson from the Kansas City Chiefs, or Mark Brunell from the Washington Redskins.
What will it be?
Don, I'm very pleased that you're
Brunell.
That you're thinking about me.
Yeah.
I'd like to apologize to all the fans for the fact that we were not able to score any points. This is Mark Brunell.
Mark, if he drafts you, would you have him over for a prayer breakfast?
I'd love you to come over and stand and hold hands, and we'd say grace, and then I'd have the wife fix up a little some supper.
I think you might throw a few more touchdowns if you maybe stopped studying the Bible so much. Maybe went out some night with the boys.
Well, now you've succeeded in getting me angry.
I can tell.
Is blasphemy. You're a blasphemer. You're no longer invited to come to my house, but you're invited to watch the Washington Redskins to see if Coach Gibbs and company, along with myself, can score some serious points this season.
See you in church, faggot.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
He's Mark Brunell is the quarterback of the Redskins. One of those guys. He brings the J-Man into just about every conversation. How is it looking out there? Well,
thanks to Jesus, you know, that the guy caught the swing pass coming out of the backfield.
Coach likes it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Coach Gibbs is way into Jesus.
Coach likes it a lot.
As a matter of fact, you know, it almost makes you wonder about Jesus. You know, really, if you're really that devoted, hey, how come Jesus screwed you over so bad the first couple of years you came back with the team, Gibbs?
Maybe you should pray for better glasses.
And then you got a guy like Parcells, who, you know, has not spent one day in church in his entire life.
Right.
Job to job to job, success, success, success.
I'm going
to
give you one of my WWJAMBD bracelets.
What would
Jesus and Mark Brunell do? I'll send it to you. It's a lovely maroon. Or burgundy, as you like to call it here. Hail to the Redskins.
Yeah.
You know why my voice is so weird?
You're
deep?
A dynamo.
Because my head is so amazingly large.
Oversized?
The voice just bounces around inside.
And that beard looks good on you. Very Christian.
Right. I'll be shaving it before game one.
I thought you will. You'd be shaving your entire body.
Yes, including all of my balls.
all of them?
All the entire square footage. I'll be taking all the hair away.
Well, now who's not ready for some football now, huh?
I love the NFL.
Who's not ready to pick? So when we come back, it's going to be, we'll have the open bar.
Right.
And we'll get the draft underway.
Good luck to all of you.
And we've got BJ Daisy, our listener from Baltimore, who's here. And Mike.
What an interesting name.
Your guy Travis is here, your general manager.
Travis Butler Elon.
So come on, let's get this going, everybody. We'll have this
the gang's all here
up online on the website.
Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks a lot, Jesus.
Coach Gibbs, I brought you another Bible this season. Hopefully it'll help us win. I'm Mark Brunell. I could talk like this all day.
The thing is, it's so true.
So nice to be with all of you. I'm Mark Brunell. Quiet as a church mouse.
All right, we'll be right back.
Quiet, I'm studying my playbook.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.